We're welcoming Bill Hogan to the studio. Those of you who have heard this name may have heard it in a variety of contexts, because Bill has been, variously, I think it was 2008, the Commissioner of Health and Social Services. Is that correct, Bill?
Yes.
Okay. Well, welcome.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Will.
And today, you occupy a different position. You're associated with the University of Alaska in Anchorage. Would you perhaps share your title and position there?
Yeah, I'm currently the Dean of the College of Health at UAA.
Okay. And you also have connections here into the Valley, because you're associated with Mat-Su Regional and the Valley Health Foundation.
I am. I'm on the Mat-Su Health Foundation Board of Directors, and because the foundation actually owns 25% of the hospital, I'm also on the hospital board of directors.
So you're particularly well-placed.
Okay. Seems like
Will has confirmed that my observation is correct. And so what I'm thinking about here is a couple of different ways to approach this. There has been a history of healthcare delivery here in the state, obviously, starting way back. But I'm curious, given your experience over the past, say, 7 years, what you see as the kind of developing circumstances. I know many people think about, for example, things like the Affordable Care Act, and et cetera, as this background. Some call it a shadow, some call it a foundation structure, either way. But talk a little bit about what you see as some of the big picture elements that we're working with.
Well, as a growing community, I think the Mat-Su has certainly been providing more and more health care, and there are many more services available out here, whereas historically people would go to Anchorage for just about everything. Mm-hmm. And so I see that trend continuing as our population continues to increase. I think we frankly need a whole array of healthcare services here in the Valley. And the Health Foundation and the hospital, as well as many other health and social services providers, I believe are positioning themselves for that going forward. And as you indicated, Mike, there's at least a couple of things that I think actually portend the possibility or the reality that we're going to be having more and more healthcare here closer to home. The first is the Affordable Care Act, and I know people still have mixed feelings about it, but I do believe more than anything else what it offers is it offers people at least the possibility of having health coverage. As you know, many people even now still do not have adequate health coverage and therefore do not really have access to adequate health care. Many of those folks end up going into the emergency room at Mat-Su Regional because there just are no other options and they're not connected in any way to a primary care physician or to primary care services. So I think at least with the way the Affordable Care Act is playing out in Alaska, that many more people will have access to health coverage and health care. I know we're in the midst of discussing Medicaid expansion
right. In
Juneau.
Yes.
And again, I know there's some mixed feelings about that, but from our perspective, what Medicaid expansion would do is provide coverage and access primarily to those folks who are what I would describe as the working poor. The numbers I've seen are that about 45% of those people that would be eligible are actually working but do not have health insurance. And another 30-plus percent, so nearly three-quarters of that population, are out looking for work but for whatever reason haven't been able to find work. So I'm cautiously optimistic, actually, that Medicaid coverage will occur and it will provide health coverage to many more Alaskans, and particularly folks here in the Mat-Su.
Okay. What, Will, do you have any comment about that?
I'm going to go ahead and probably say I am the most uneducated person in this group about health coverage and whatnot, but I have to agree that Medicaid expansion would be nice for those people who definitely can't afford the super expensive healthcare, and who are still trying to find work and healthcare and everything. It's a mess. But I think if you can get something, something is better than nothing, considering the fact that by law, hospitals have to treat you. And if you can't pay for it, things aren't good.
Okay. Well, that's good. Well, Bill, there are a number of aspects of this whole area, in particular the Valley, that I think are worth a little discussion. We have heard often expressed that the population in the Valley is growing, but also a component of that population is growing in particular, and that's older people. We have a senior population. We have a senior population that is continuing to grow. So what I'm wondering is to talk a little bit about services for seniors.
Well, you're absolutely right, Mike. Alaska has the fastest growing senior population in the country. And I'm not exactly sure what the numbers are out here in the Mat-Su, but I know our senior population is growing out here as well. The Health Foundation has been working with an array of senior care providers, the senior centers, Meals on Wheels, senior companion programs, a broad array of senior services to bring them together to figure out ways that we might be able to provide senior services in a more efficient manner. So I think we have a very robust senior system, senior care system, senior service system. I do think we can probably do things a bit better, maybe in a more streamlined or more consolidated fashion. And the Health Foundation has actually been actively working with the many senior providers to do that. We also have the Pioneer Home here in Palmer, which is a very well-run, very well-respected home. As you probably remember, or at least I hope you remember, it's also a designated veterans facility. We did that back in 2008 when I was in the Department of Health and Social Services. So I think that's a big plus and certainly speaks to how important veterans are, particularly aging veterans in our community. The Health Foundation, just to elaborate a little bit more, we've identified three areas of focus. One is behavioral health, what we're calling healthy minds. The second is supporting kids and families, which we're calling healthy children and families. And the third is a focus on seniors, and that's called healthy aging. So, again, the Health Foundation recognizes how important our seniors are, how important they are to the community, frankly, because even as one ages, there's certainly many opportunities for seniors to give back to the community, and we certainly respect what seniors do in our community, and we look to ways to support them.
Okay. You mentioned veterans services. One of our volunteers here is a retired Army guy, Dan Grota. Mm-hmm. And I know following his story, he's recently had some health issues, and he's been receiving care through a variety of local clinics. And that's been a very interesting situation nationally. It's received quite a bit of prominence in the media in terms of the delivery of health care to veterans in one way or another. And we also have another interesting aspect, and they seem to come together, and that's the delivery of health care through Native offices. Talk a little bit about perhaps some of that.
Yeah, our system in Alaska is both complicated, but I think from my perspective, moving more towards integration. So even though the veteran system in many ways is a separate system set up exclusively for veterans, I do know that here in the Valley, as well as throughout Alaska, particularly in rural Alaska, that veterans need to have access to the broader array of health services through what I would describe as the more traditional healthcare system. And that's also the same with the Alaska Native health system. Out here, we, as you guys know, in the last couple of years, South Central Foundation has developed a new primary care facility over in Wasilla, which I think has been a real plus for the Valley, particularly giving Alaska Natives greater access to health care in their own community. But again, I like to see the Alaska Native healthcare system as integrated with both the veteran system and our more traditional healthcare system. And again, that's truly the case in rural Alaska, where in many hub communities and certainly in many of our villages, the only healthcare available is through the Native health system. So Although it's certainly unique to Alaska, I do think we are regularly trying to figure out ways where those systems can work more closely together to create a more holistic or comprehensive array of healthcare programs and services.
So let's put your dean hat on for a moment or two, because what I'm interested in particular is what is happening at the university in terms of preparing additional health providers, for example. There have been evolving programs. Many people are familiar with the WAMI program in the past, et cetera. Talk a little bit about what is happening there to add additional providers.
It's a very good question, and it's part of what I've been working on here for the last 3 or 4 years, as long as I've been at the university, and frankly, even before that. So we view our mission, or probably our primary mission, as developing the health workforce, not only for the current healthcare and social service system that we have, but what do we envision that system looking like in the next 5, 10, 20 years? And as a result of that, we've really adopted a philosophy of growing our own. And by that I mean, you know, historically many healthcare providers have had to bring in practitioners from out of state just because they had not been able to find the kinds of quality, skilled practitioners that they needed to provide care. And so over the last probably 10 to 15 years, we've really, I think, stepped up to the plate to grow our own. So you've mentioned the WAMI medical education program. We'd like to call WAMI our Alaska's medical school. And we've had a relationship with the University of Washington with the WAMI program for over 40 years now. A couple of years ago, we expanded the program to admit 20 new students each year. And beginning this fall, it will be possible for an Alaska student to spend all 4 years in Alaska getting or receiving medical education and as part of that program. The way things currently work is that the second year of the four-year program, you're supposed to go to Seattle and spend some time in the big city. But with a change in curriculum that was frankly initiated by our folks here in Alaska, we've managed to work out a mechanism with the University of Washington where somebody will spend all 4 years going to school up here, and we think will increase the likelihood that they will stay in Alaska once they finish that program.
Well, I'm fascinated by that description because you have everything in place then to have de facto, I mean, in practice, a medical school without having a medical school.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, particularly in this fiscal environment, don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting that we have our own medical school. On the other hand, you know, I'm thinking 10, 15 years from now, we should be well positioned to potentially have our own school. I've been looking at a model in South Dakota where they got to the point of admitting about, I think it was 48 students a year, and we frankly have the capacity to go beyond the current 20, probably in the high 20s. So we're not that far off about being from being able to do our own, but it's very expensive, as you can imagine.
Right.
And we certainly value our ongoing relationship with the University of Washington. So I think it's a ways out, but I think there will come a time where we will have our own medical school in Alaska, just as I think there will come a time where we will have our own law school in Alaska. We are in the midst of developing relationships, the most recent with the Willamette Law School in Oregon, where we've developed what's called a 3+3 program. So, a student can spend 3 years of undergrad at UAA and then be fast-tracked into admission at the Willamette Law School for an additional 3 years. It currently takes 7. We figured out a mechanism where it can now only take 6 for someone to get a law degree. And again, we think that increases the likelihood that they will come back to Alaska. Let me go back to the College of Health just a little bit. Within that college, we have the School of Nursing. That's our biggest program. We have 14 different sites throughout Alaska. So it's possible for a faculty member to be teaching a course in Anchorage and to be connected to all additional 13 sites simultaneously. Mm-hmm. We have sites in just about all of our hub communities. We think, again, this is the mechanism that we need to produce more nurses. We're currently producing 200 nurses a year, and yet the need seems to still be there, and frankly seems to be extraordinary. Healthcare is one of the few industries that is projected to grow and continue to grow dramatically over the next several years. We also have a physician assistant program that we do with the University of Washington, the School of Social Work, the Department of Human Services, our public health programs, Center for Human Development, which focuses on disabilities, the Justice Center, which is why I mentioned the law school relationships, the Institute for Circumpolar Health are all within the college. And so it's a very broad-based college, but we think it really gives us the opportunity to figure out ways how many, you know, where many disciplines and professions can begin to work together in an interdisciplinary and interprofessional manner, which we think is what needs to happen for the healthcare and social service delivery system of the future.
When you mention a connection to hubs and more remote areas, it's very often the terms used involve distance delivery. Is that something that is a major component of the training?
It is. We have we offer a number of courses that are strictly online. We think that's probably the way things are going, at least in higher education in general. We also have what we call hybrid programs, where some of the content's online, some of it's face-to-face. One of our challenges, frankly, is that even if you have online courses, future nurses, for instance, actually need experience working in clinical settings. And we're becoming more and more challenged finding high quality and an adequate number of clinical settings. There's a lot of pressure amongst healthcare providers, I think, frankly, from a productivity standpoint, to see patients and to be able to generate sufficient revenue so that they can pay for the care that they're providing. And so practitioners are becoming, I won't say, probably more and more reluctant, or they just frankly don't have the time mm-hmm. to spend with students that they might have 15 or 20 years ago. So finding high-quality clinical sites for our students is a big challenge for us.
Okay. Will?
I don't want to become a doctor or a lawyer or anything, but I think with the whole the new programs and the broader spectrum of things, for students who do want to go do those things, I think that will help them out immensely. One, it'll keep them in Alaska. They can stay with their families and friends and whatnot. It'll also help them. It would help them figure out what they really want to do if they're not quite sure.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Yeah, and I think overall for the student-wise, if they were looking into those fields, I think it definitely helps out what they were thinking or clears any questions they had to answer for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Let me follow up on Will's comment. So we also have what's called the School of Allied Health in our college, and that is the school that I would best describe would be entry-level health professions. So things like dental assisting, dental hygiene, medical lab technology, emergency medical services, phlebotomy, things along that line. We started a course 2 years ago now called the Introduction to Health Professions, because I think people are interested in health careers, mm-hmm. but they're not quite sure what sort of health career might be best for them and mm-hmm. what might be most amenable to their skills and their interests. So I think you make a good point. Mm-hmm. Not everybody that goes into a health profession needs to be a doctor or a nurse. There's mm-hmm. lots of other options. And again, I think if you get a degree, a health care degree of some sort, you've got a really good chance of getting a job in a mm-hmm. in a high quality job, not only out here in the Matsu, but anywhere in Alaska.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've been talking about sort of statewide programs, et cetera. Let's bring us back to the Valley here, because Matsu College sits only a few miles away from Matsu Regional. And I know in the past there have been all kinds of discussions about the interconnections and programs that might be available at the college, et cetera. Can you talk a little bit about any of that, since you are involved both with the university and with Matsu Regional?
Yes. I mean, we view Matsu College as our partner, frankly, is the best way to describe it. It is part of UAA, and we work very closely with them around a nursing program. For instance, our associate degree in nursing is also available out here in the Matsu. Our paramedics program, or Matsu's paramedic program, works very closely with our emergency medical service program at UAA. Our Department of Human Services also has a very close relationship. So we view Matsu College as a critical partner and one that enables us to expand the work that we're doing in Anchorage. There's been a lot of focus in the last several years in Anchorage around what's called the UMed District.
Right.
So for folks who know that area of Anchorage, you've got the university that sits very closely to next to Providence, to the Alaska Psychiatric Institute. We're within walking distance, or at least short driving distance, to Alaska Regional and to the Native Health, Native Medical Center. So one of the things that we've been talking about out here, frankly, is perhaps creating a mini UMed district, with the Matsu College being so close to Matsu Regional. And as many of you know, a number of practices, healthcare practices, physician practices, sort of growing up around the hospital. And so to begin to think consciously or intentionally about how do we create some synergy between Matsu College and the growing healthcare community out here in the Matsu. And so I think that's actually pretty exciting and something we can continue to talk about. Certainly would want input from the community and would like to get ideas from, again, many of our healthcare partners, but also the community in general about how they think that might work going forward. But I think it's actually an exciting time to be at Matsu College, to be at UAA, and to certainly be focused on health.
Well, I one last topic, because it's coming up to that point where we've spent almost 23 or 24 minutes. The Valley Health Foundation, you mentioned it a little bit in the past, but my understanding is that that organization and its ability to both inform by doing a variety of surveys, health surveys in particular, and then to support initiatives in particular areas is not only a very important part of the picture here in the Valley, but is unique in many ways. To my understanding, there might not be any other place quite like it in the country. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, again, as I had indicated earlier, the Matsu Health Foundation actually owns 25% of the hospital. So as a result, some of the revenue that is generated by the hospital comes back to the foundation. And then what we've been doing historically is taking that money and putting it back into the community in areas that, based on assessments that we've done throughout the community, seem to have or need the most attention or have the most need. So let me give you an example. We just undertook a behavioral health assessment,
right,
where we sat down with all sorts of individuals involved in the behavioral health system, not the least of which, again, was the hospital and our array of behavioral health providers out here. Matsu Health, Denali Family Services, Alaska Family Services, and others, to try to get a better idea of where the problems are and how we might invest our money in a way strategically where we could make a difference. And what we found is that, frankly, the emergency room at the hospital is where many people with behavioral health problems, meaning mental health problems or alcohol and drug problems, are ending up because there's not the array of services that they could benefit from. And so I would think you will see over the next year or so an investment by the Health Foundation in improving care at the emergency room. Don't get me wrong, I think those guys are doing a great job with the resources they have. But improving care in the emergency room and beginning to bolster the array of services that are available for people with mental health and alcohol and drug problems here in the Valley. So I think that's probably an example of how the Health Foundation is trying to better understand what is needed in the community, and then investing some of the dollars that we are getting from the hospital back into the community in a strategic way where we can actually make a difference. And frankly, make the Mat-Su a better place to live in a healthier community.
Okay. Will, do you have any last question for Bill Hogan?
No, I think all the things that were well explained and well talked about. So
okay, he's our test. Will is
the community test. Yes. We did do focus groups with people like Will.
Yeah. I've been the test since the summer. So.
Okay.
I've gotten used to it.
Well, Bill Hogan, I want to thank you for coming on in here. You wear many hats, but you have a unique set of perspectives, and I appreciate you coming in this early and sharing. Any last comments?
No, I want to thank you, Mike. Thank you, Will. Thanks to the Mat-Su community. And again, I think it's a great place to live. I even though I work in Anchorage currently, I feel like Mat-Su is my home, and I live here in Palmer, and I think the opportunity to be on both the Health Foundation Board and the Hospital Board gives me the opportunity to give back. So thank you, Mike. Thank you, Will. And thank you to the listeners.